Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you. Okay, thank you all for joining, and I appreciate this opportunity to address what we need to do now, especially on two fronts, on finalizing the rules that we have and on perhaps reconstituting the IRP IoT team. So before we actually get started on the agenda, let me ask if anyone has a change to their statement of interest that they need to mention. And I would, so let me ask that. If anyone has a statement of interest change, please note with your hand up in Adobe or on the audio. I don't hear or see any, so let me then ask, is there anybody who is listening and participating on audio who's not listed, who is not in the Adobe room? Would they please make themselves known? And again, I don't hear any, so I think we can proceed and go into the agenda.
Excuse me, David. Greg has his hand raised.
Oh, goodness, I missed that. I'm sorry, Greg. Please go ahead.
Thank you. It's Greg Shatton. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thanks.
Great. It's been a while since I've been on one of these calls, so I'm not sure if I my statement of interest update was mentioned on this call prior, but I'll still mention it again, perhaps. In September, I became the president of the New York chapter of the Internet Society, which is an at-large structure, also a member of NCUC. We have others who participate in NCUC on behalf of the group, so I'm not associated with that aspect actively, but I do represent the group to at large. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Congratulations on that. And Malcolm, his hand is up, so Malcolm, go ahead. Malcolm, if you're speaking, we're not hearing.
Sorry, I seem to be double muted. David, this is a point of order rather than a SOI update. At the public meeting following the board meeting in Barcelona, Goram, in answer to a question about the status of staff in community participation processes, said that ICANN staff do not participate as members of this community and are not full participants in community processes, but act in a supporting role to provide staff advice. On the basis of that advice from Goram as the chief executive, I believe that we need to revisit the, your decision to include ICANN legal staff and just stay as full participants in this group. I would therefore ask that they be reclassified as a support role rather than as full participants eligible for quorum counts and consensus calls.
Okay. Thank you, Malcolm. Before I comment, I see Sam had her hand up, that's now down. Greg, I believe that's an old hand, or is that a new hand from you? Excuse me. Okay. Thanks. Malcolm, I understand your point, but it's I don't know what to say. I don't want to stop the meeting because I'd like to press on and do the things that we have on the agenda. Speaking as a personal participant and not as the lead of the IoT right now, it would be my view that it's almost inconceivable to have a group talk about IRP rules without ICANN participating in some substantive fashion. The reason being that ICANN is the only person on this call or in any setting that I'm aware of that's guaranteed to be a party in every single IRP. But be that as it may, that's simply my view as a participant, and it's my personal view. It's not certainly not a company view. But I see your hand, I'll come to you in just a second. Having said that, I understand your point and sort of would ask that maybe you make it in writing on the list, but I'd like to proceed with the substance of today's call. And then with respect to Jones Day, I don't believe they are a full participant, but we can visit that question too. So your hand's back up, Malcolm. Go ahead.
Yes, I believe it's precisely because of ICANN's special interest that they should participate in this only in a supporting capacity. That said, I want to be clear, I was not asking that ICANN should leave this call or not participate in any respect. It was the status of our participation that I was speaking to. I noted that the transcript didn't capture my words clearly, so if I may repeat my request for the benefit of the transcript more slowly.
Malcolm, can I interrupt just for a second? I appreciate the fact that you want to do that, and I encourage you to do that, because when you made the statement initially, at least at my end, a certain small portion of it was garbled. So I would suggest you repeat the statement and slowly as you suggest. And so, therefore, that's a good idea. Go ahead.
Thank you. My request is that ICANN staff and Jones Day be classified so that they participate in this group as staff support, not as full participating members of this group. And as a consequence of that, they would not be considered eligible for inclusion in quorum counts or in consensus calls.
Okay, thank you. So I think that's clear, and I hope that that's been captured. Bernie and Brenda, maybe you could, you know, after the call, confirm that that's been captured, or we can go back and listen to the tape. But I suspect that that's
David.
Firmly captured. Yes, Bernie, go ahead.
My hand is up when you have a minute.
No, go ahead. I'm asking if you would talk now.
Okay, thank you. I understand Malcolm's point. However, if we go back to the creation of the IoT, it was clearly stated and meant that ICANN would participate as a full member, but that regardless of the number of people representing ICANN, it would only be as one member. So I'm just putting that on the table from a historical and factual perspective. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I seem to have this problem with my voice when I get on these calls. Maybe there's something going on there. Thank you for that. Malcolm, however, has made a request. Here's what I propose. The agenda is drawn up for today in such a manner that we are not probably, I think certainly, not going to be making decisions. It has been my intent, and I hope I expressed it somewhat clearly, that what I hope as lead that we can do between now and the end of January is finish work on the rules of procedure. We have interim rules that the board's approved, and there was some disagreement at ICANN 63 about that. I think everyone was expressing themselves in good faith there, but there was some disagreement. But we can sort of take that issue entirely off the table by finalizing the rules and not having interim rules anymore. And my goal is that this group should get that done by the end of January in the following manner. In this meeting and on the meeting I hope that we can hold on December 13th and on the list, first address Rule 4, the time for filing rule, and review the public comments somewhat formally. We're not going to read them as they were written, but Bernie and I will read parts of them and put them on the table and discuss them, both in this call and in the call on the 13th. And that would be the rule for the time for filing. And then move on to the other rules that are not done. I think there's just one other that may not be fully done, and that's on intervention, joinder, whatever you want to call it. And my hope is that would be done by the end of January. And that this group, Greg, I see your hand. I'll get to you in just a minute. That this group could, with some focus, finish the rules. And then I also think, as you know, that we could go to the SOs and ACs around the time that we finish them. I mean, we could go to them now so that they get started in this process, to add new members to the IoT and sort of reinvigorate our work, because we do have a chain of things left for us to do, and there's no reason for us to continue at this pace. I think that we should have a meeting at ICANN 64, a small, discreet, one-hour meeting where we reorganize, get into substance, and start moving forward on those things and wrap them up as quickly and efficiently and well as we can. And so I don't believe we're going to make a decision in this call. And therefore, I believe that we can proceed on. Malcolm's point is noted. And I would ask Malcolm then to come to the list in the interim, repeat what he said on this call, and say that he would like to, assuming he does, make this a formal discussion item. I don't think it's, I appreciate what you said, Bernie. I appreciate the point that you made. But it's not fair for us to sort of garner and our arguments right now, because it's not something we've prepared to do. So anyway, that would be what I suggest. I'm open to what people think about that. Greg's hand is up, so I'm going to call on Greg right now.
Thanks. It's Greg Chapman, for the record. I don't have Malcolm's exact words in front of me, but I just wanted to make sure to point out that we're an implementation oversight team and not a working group, and that implementation is a hybrid task of staff and the community. So whatever Joran was speaking to, I would be very hesitant on applying it, you know, for all seasons, and in particular an IoT text. We need to look at exactly what is going on here. So and on a related point, I think we should consider, you know, calling out to members and asking that they either step up or replace themselves, or that we just ask for new members if needed. If our problem is getting a quorum and whatever, and we have to look at that quorum issue. I don't know that we have a quorum issue, but the idea that we're closed for business to any new members, you know, is exacerbating that issue. But, you know, my main point is that as an IoT, we are a different bird, and whatever discussion there is of roles needs to be taken in that context and not in the working group or kind of generic structure context. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Before I go on to Malcolm, I will simply say I do believe we have a quorum. We've been working under the modus operandi that five working members would equal a quorum, and I believe that we have that even irrespective of ICANN's participation. Having said that, thank you, Greg. I do have thoughts, by the way, on asking to add new members and asking members that are currently members to step up, and I plan to discuss that starting in this call and again on December 13th, assuming we can meet then, and also on list. And so I just want to make sure before I ask anybody to not be on the list that that's proper. I don't want to do anything that's improper, but I think that it would be fair at some point for us to say to people who are on the list, you know, please step up or get off the list. But we have to find out how we can do that and whether we're authorized to do that. And then secondly, with respect to adding new members, I think, as I recall, this group was formed as a closed group during CCWG. But when this team was sort of adopted by the bylaws in October of 2016, bylaw 4.3N does say that the IoT will be established in consultation with the SOs and NACs. And so I think that we now have the opportunity to go to the SOs and NACs and say we're looking for new members. But as you'll see from some of my mailings, that's something I'm going to put on the table and hope to discuss. So I think those are good ideas. Greg, you and I are thinking alike. Thank you very much for that. And now I'll turn to Malcolm.
I just make one quick reply to Greg, because he made a specific point there relating to the fact that this is a slightly different group than certain other kinds of working groups within ICANN. I spoke to what Doran had said at the public meeting. What Greg may not be aware, so I'd like to share with him, is that when Doran said that, it was in response to a question from me. It was specifically in relation to this group. But the main specimen specifically in reply
Malcolm,
to a question
Malcolm,
about their participation
Malcolm,
in this group.
Malcolm, can I interrupt for a second?
Yes.
You've been pretty clear up until about a sentence ago, but you seem to be cutting in and out a little bit. So I think everything that you said is clear, but if you could repeat the last sentence and maybe get a little closer to your phone.
Yeah. I just wanted to make Greg and everyone else to understand that Goran was speaking specifically in relation to a question about this group, not only about ICANN community processes in general. I mean, that's for information. But having said that, I think we've done on that subject. If you give me an invitation to write to the group, I will do so, David. However, now I think we need to think about what comes next, yeah? And your proposal that we should complete the work on the draft rules before we go out to expand the group. Now, I have consulted with some colleagues since you sent your proposal to the mailing list. And the response I got back was that there was an appetite to expand the group before we complete the rules. So I would like to add on the table and ask first for you, David, to say whether you had considered that as a possibility, and if so, what your reasons were for proposing that we attempt to complete it before we enlarge the group, and to hear the group's views on the matter.
Thank you, Malcolm. A couple of points, starting at the back end of what you said. With respect to why I said what I said, it was that, as I see it, the group that currently exists is the group that's worked on the rules, and it would probably be most efficient and fair to finish the rules on that basis. I never thought about asking that the rules be thrown open to an expanded group just for efficiency purposes. It's sort of catching me cold. I haven't had a chance to think about it. Almost among others would appreciate that fact to get the rules done. I don't think that we should throw open to people that are not yet members of the IoT how the IoT should run. But anything that you want to propose, I think you should propose. What I don't want to do is try and stop you from proposing anything. Then with respect to your point in response to Greg, I think, as I recall at that public meeting, I think you're right, that was in response to a question you were raising about this. But I think it's fair to say, at least on that question, that it took Joran, right there in the moment. I don't know that he was preparing for that, but be that as it may, I think it's something that if you want to put it on the table, as you obviously do and have, you should. It would be, it would be a good catalyst for further discussion to put it on the list and to say what you wish. I don't think we can substantively address it now, any more than we already have. If others have thoughts on that, please certainly weigh in. Malcolm, I see your hands up, so I take it that's you would like to respond. No.
And your invitation that I come back, I'm quite happy with. I consider that the way forward, and we can close this and move on now.
Okay. Okay. So that is that. In the meantime, I would like for us to visit the discussions surrounding Rule 4. And so in that respect, Bernie and I have spoken about this, and we would like we'll read parts of the summaries, not the comments themselves, but parts of the summaries to remind folks what the comments were. However, having said that, I would invite everybody in this group and on the IoT, as I did on the list, everybody in our group, the link is there to go and look at the comments. It's interesting when you look at the comments. I think they were universally from groups of people, not individuals, and so they have some added heft in that respect. For instance, you have comments from Registrar Stakeholder Group, Registry Stakeholder Group, ISPCP, IPC, BC, NS, NCSG, I think. I'm INTA, I remember. So those comments have heft that merits another look. I'm going to take another look myself. It's been some time since I read the full extent of all the comments, but I have read Bernie's summary more recently. And so I would invite folks to take a look at the full comment as we get into this process. And again, it's my hope that we can do this sort of with some dispatch to get the rules done. In any event, having said that, Bernie and I talked about this, and I think the best way to proceed is what he suggested. We're going to simply ignore comments with respect to changing the rule of a 45-day time limit to a 120-day time limit, or time within which someone can bring a claim. That's no longer an issue, as I understand it. I believe even ICANN is okay with changing 45 days to 120 days. There would be no point in reading those. And so what I'd like to do is begin going down Bernie's summary. I'll read parts of the first one on changing the other time period limitation. And the first comment is from the business constituency. And the business constituency basically said the BC further recommends that the calculation of any time period should not include the time within which the parties are formally agreed in any ICANN accountability mechanism relating to or in connection with the issues being referred to IRP. I doubt that'll be a very contentious aspect of the rules. And then in removing the one-year period, the BC said, the current revisions to the updated supplementary procedure rule number 4, time for filing, address these times limitations concerns by extending the 45-day aspect of the time for filing to 120 days. And the 12-month limitation to file an IRP has been eliminated in the new amendment. The BC supports these revisions and urges the IOT not to revert on these essential changes to IRP procedures. Okay. Bernie, if you would like to take on the IPC comment. Bernie, if you're speaking, we can't hear, and if you are having difficulty following, just let me know and I'll...
Sorry about that.
Okay.
I was double muted, as Malcolm said. All right, going to the IPC, removing one-year repose. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. On the removal of the separate 12-month limitation, as the IPC did during the previous public comment on the draft supplementary procedures, the previously proposed overarching limitation period would appear to be inconsistent with the constructive knowledge requirement under the ICANN bylaws, as confirmed in the advice by Sidley Laughlin. The IPC therefore supports its removal. In the event that the outcome of this public comment and the further deliberations of the IRP IOT do conclude that some overall limitation period or repose is nevertheless required, the IPC asserts that there must be a reasonable limitation period from the date of ICANN's action or inaction. We believe that 12 months is inadequate and that 24 months or 36 months is far more in line with analogous state of statute of limitations principles in established statutes and case law. Again, any such 24 or 36-month period should not prevent a party from raising a violation of ICANN's Articles of Incorporation or bylaws when the harm only results from a later implementation of an ICANN action or inaction. And then there's a... second part on starting point of time for filing. The IPC believes that the starting point of the time for filing period must be unambiguous. The time for filing period should not start running before the publication of the adopted minutes setting out the reasoning of the action or inaction. Whenever an action or inaction immediately affects a party or multiple parties, that can be identified in the action or inaction, ICANN should immediately communicate to the publication of the minutes to the parties concerned and inform them about the possibilities for redress and the timing and procedure for introducing redress. Finally, there is also something on other interplay with other accountability mechanisms. Interplay with other accountability mechanisms remains unclear. We and others have previously expressed our strong belief that it is necessary to amend the time for filing periods to ensure that the deadline for filing an IRP be told during the time within which the parties are formally engaged in other accountability mechanisms over the issues being referred to IRP. In particular, A, the Cooperative Engagement Process, CEP, which is a voluntary but strongly encouraged step prior to the commencement of an IRP, Bylaw Section 43E, and B, an ongoing reconsideration request process, including any ombudsman review, which forms a part of that process pursuant to Bylaw Section 42. C, a request under ICANN's Documentary Information Disclosure Policy, DIDP, and D, a complaint to the Ombudsman pursuant to Bylaws Article 5. Since complaints to the Ombudsman generally are not subject to set time limits, we recognize that this might give rise to concerns of undue delay. Nevertheless, Ombuds complaints are out of the hands of the complainant, and they should not be penalized for something which they cannot control. An IRP is an extremely costly and time-consuming process. It is not to be entered into lightly. All members of the community deserve the opportunity to attempt to resolve their dispute using the other accountability mechanisms in place without the concern that they will serve to exhaust the limitation period for bringing an IRP. That's it. Back to you, David.
Thanks, Bernie. And what we're trying to do here is create a record along with the actual comments themselves so that people could look at this phone call and come back and take a look, which is fine. I'll ask people on the list to do that. I'm going to go ahead and read a comment from the non-commercial stakeholder group where they say, hence, we support the following change. Quote, under the prior text, a claimant would have had to have filed their IRP within 1 year of the action inaction that is being challenged. Under the new text, the only timing requirement that the claimant has to meet is the 120-day requirement above, whether the challenged action inaction happened 3 months, 3 years, or 5 years prior or more, close quote. The NCSG under no circumstances accepts the return to the previous text as the IRP is a critical tool to keep ICANN accountable and as transparent as possible. However, we reiterate our previous comment that while the time limit might be appropriate for commercial actors, it is not for consensus policy. That's the end of that comment. And so, Bernie, if you want to go ahead and take a stab at the Registrar Stakeholder Group.
Sure. The Registrar Stakeholder Group would like to thank the IRPIOT for their work and proposed amendment to its original updated supplementary procedure number 4, time for filing. The Registrar Stakeholder Group agrees that extending the time allowed for filing a dispute from when the claimant first becomes aware of the action in action is necessary. Likewise, having no limitation instead on being able to file a dispute from the date when said action in action occurred is a sensible idea. Back to you, David.
Thanks, Bernie. Here's a comment from the Registry Stakeholder Group. On the separate 12-month limitation, the Registry Stakeholder Group does not support the new proposal that deletes this idea. We believe there must be a reasonable limitation period from the date of ICANN's action or inaction. We believe that some cap is needed to allow for predictability and for the final establishment of a reliable body of precedent. We believe that 12 months is inadequate. The Registry Stakeholder Group believes that the calculation of the overall limitation period should not include the time in which the IRP claimant was engaged in certain accountability mechanisms. We provide alternative proposals, either of which is acceptable to the Registry Stakeholder Group. A 36-month limitation excluding the time in which the IRP claimant was engaged in CEP or an ongoing reconsideration request process relating to the issues being referred to IRP, or B, 24-month limitation excluding the time in which the IRP claimant was engaged in CEP, an ongoing reconsideration request process, the first ongoing ombudsman review, or the first or second ongoing documentary information disclosure policy request relating to the issues being referred to IRP. So that was that. Next, over to you, Bernie, for I believe it's ICANN comment.
Yes, I will get into that. We seem to have lost Robin also. Robin, if you're around, let us know if you're still there. We can't see you in the participants list. Excuse me. So I'm going to go to the full text of the ICANN thing since we abbreviated it in the summary. ICANN.org's objection relates to the second question. The new language posted for comment by the IRPIOT removes any outer limit from the date of ICANN's action, giving rise to the IRP to the time of the filing of an IRP. This means that an IRP could be filed 2 years, 5 years, even 10 years after the act being challenged, so long as an IRP is filed within 120 days of when the claimant learned of ICANN's act and the alleged harm caused. This removes any finality to ICANN's actions, ignores the principles supporting the IRP, and depletes, rather than upholds, the principle of accountability. Removing an outer limit on filing fundamentally changes the nature of the IRP from holding ICANN accountable to its articles of incorporation or bylaws into an individualized grievance mechanism for matters that were long thought to be closed. It also provides an ability to raise challenges to ICANN's actions long past any established statute of limitations that might be available in a court of law. The use of outside time limits on potential challenges is a concept accepted across legal systems, often referred to as statute of limitations. When the IRP was first introduced in ICANN's bylaws, there was no time limit to file. Time limits were introduced in 2012 upon the recommendation of a panel of dispute resolution and corporate governance experts to bring the IRP more in line with accepted dispute resolution standards. The time limit then put in place was approximately 3 months from board action. Even with a time limit of 12 months, as initially recommended by the IOT, the outer limit to file an IRP would be approximately 9 months longer than claimants have had for the past few years. The IRP is a tool to hold ICANN accountable to the Articles of Incorporation and Bylaws. The IRP is a way to identify if ICANN violated its Articles of Incorporation or Bylaws and to hold ICANN accountable for those findings. The IRP cannot result in individual damages or awards or relief from ICANN. No one in the ICANN community is benefited by long delays in identifying ICANN's improper actions. Two, placing an outer time limit to file upholds the purpose of the IRP. Placing an outer limit on how long a claimant can challenge an act of ICANN is consistent with the purposes of the IRP as defined under Article 4, Section 43(i)(7) of the bylaws, which is to secure the accessible, transparent, efficient, consistent, coherent, and just resolution of disputes. Through the enhancing ICANN accountability process, the ICANN community agreed that the IRP should be transparent, efficient, and accessible, both financially and from a standing perspective, and designed to produce consistent and coherent results that will serve as a guide for future actions. One of the purposes of the IRP is to reduce disputes going forward by creating precedent to guide and inform the ICANN board. Staff, supporting organizations, SOs, and advisory committees, ACs, and the community in connection with policy development and implementation. Removing any time frame within which one must file an IRP works against these principles. The longer it takes to challenge an action of ICANN, the less consistent or coherent a review of that act will be. Board members, organization, personnel, and community members change. Memories fade. Documentation may no longer be available. Instead of guiding future actions, the outcome of an IRP on an action taken many years prior would be backward-looking and raise bigger questions of how would the community move forward. In short, allowing an IRP to be brought years after the action in question removes, one, incentive for the ICANN community to be vigilant in raising issues of ICANN's accountability to its bylaws and articles, and two, any sense of stability or finality to ICANN's actions. In its deliberations, one of the primary examples that the IOT relied upon to support the removal of the statute of repose is the possibility that a policy recommendation addressing content and therefore outside of ICANN's mission came out of the GNSO's policy development process and was approved by the ICANN board. In the example, years later, a potential registrant was impacted by the policy approved by the board and wished to bring an IRP. The suggestion that ICANN should never have finality to its decisions is therefore based upon a presumption that all parts of the ICANN community allowed an out-of-mission policy to pass through the PDP, including public comment, and that the board then approved an out-of-mission policy. Further, once implemented, no one came forward to challenge that action for a matter of years. The example shows that eliminating any outside time limit on filing encourages participants to wait to hold ICANN accountable, as opposed to addressing potential bylaws violations when they are thought to have occurred. This does not serve accountability or the purposes of the IRP and is based on a complete breakdown of the multi-stakeholder model that the IRP is not designed to fix. 3. Removing an outer time limit creates an unprecedented rights and destabilizes ICANN. Removing an outer time limit on filing an IRP removes any certainty from ICANN's authority to enter into contracts, including with its registries and registrars. It allows people to come forward years later to try and upend binding agreements. ICANN's contracted parties already agreed to be bound by consensus policies that can change their obligations mid-agreement and have agreed with that level of flexibility in contracting with ICANN. The proposed change would remove any certainty in ICANN's authority to enter each of those agreements and would greatly impair ICANN's ability to perform its mission. Each of the over 2,500 contracts that ICANN holds with registries and registrars is grounded in law and has legal limitations on when disputes related to that contract may be raised. The suggested removal of time to file an IRP could allow challenge to an ICANN action taken a decade ago on a contract or could impair a contract entered into years before the IRP procedures went into effect. In either situation, even if an IRP were filed to challenge ICANN's old actions in relation to a contract and ICANN won, the mere fact that ICANN would allow the IRP rules to be modified in a way that would interfere with these contracts could subject ICANN to legal liability under the law. This would create confusion, uncertainty, and put ICANN at risk of facing staggering costs to address the situation. ICANN is not aware of any other organization that allows a challenge to be raised against any action at any time. Similarly, the members of the IOT pushing for the removal of time limits to file an IRP have offered no examples of other organizations that open their actions up to challenge at any time. The removal of time limits to file an IRP is unprecedented and puts the entire ICANN model at risk. 4. Time to file an IRP runs from each individual action or inaction. Multiple opportunities exist to challenge ICANN's acts in a timely manner. Every time the ICANN board or organization takes an action, that comes with the possibility that someone might declare that act to be outside of the articles or bylaws and allege that an act caused material harm. For example, if the ICANN board approves a policy recommendation and then the ICANN org implements that policy in a way that is alleged to be outside of the bylaws or the articles, the implementation decision is a separate act from the policy approval and has the potential to give rise to new grounds for an IRP. Even if that implementation date was years after the policy approval date. If ICANN org later takes compliance activity related to that policy in a way that is alleged to be outside the bylaws or the articles many years after the policy approval date, that action, too, is a new act of the organization, and that can be challenged through an IRP. There is no need to draft a procedural rule that allows challenge on the very first act on an issue, no matter when taken, or when taken, as the IRP can be timely used to challenge the specific act alleged to cause the articles or bylaws violation. 5. outside time limit to file an IRP is consistent with the bylaws. In building its first set of draft supplementary procedures for public comment, the IOT developed the time for filing rule in accordance with its obligations under the bylaws. The bylaws state that the supplementary procedures must identify the time within which it must be filed after a claimant becomes aware of or reasonably should have become aware of the action or inaction giving rise to the dispute. The IOT proposal stated that both the 45-day window from becoming aware or reasonably should have been aware of the harm caused by the action, as well as the outer limit of 12 months from the date of the action. The CCWG accountability deferred the issue of setting a time frame, leaving the issue to the IOT. It is fully within the IOT's power and in alignment with the bylaws to determine that there is a time period after which it would not be reasonable for a claimant to bring an IRP. Almost there, folks. ICANN.org stands behind and supports the enhanced accountability measures that the CCWG accountability recommended, included the expanded IRP. However, each of ICANN's accountability mechanisms need to be viewed in a context to make sure they fit with ICANN's work and support the ICANN community. ICANN's actions do not exist in a vacuum. They are actions on community-made policy recommendations, actions that impact ICANN's contracted parties and the business decisions they make, and actions that end users, registrants, and all other parts of the multi-stakeholder community rely upon. All parts of ICANN rely upon ICANN acting within its articles of incorporation and bylaws, and have an interest in swift action when ICANN is not doing so. The IRP does not exist to provide relief to a single individual or entity. The IRP exists to hold ICANN accountable to its articles of incorporation and bylaws. The ICANN community has every need to bring swift challenges when ICANN has acted improperly. Removing any outer limit on when that act can be challenged only serves to harm accountability across ICANN. Over to you, David.
Thanks, Bernie. I'll go ahead and read the comment from the International Trademark Association, which is known as INTA. INTA commends the IRP IOT's removal of Rule 4's 12-month ultimate deadline for commencing an IRP and its expansion of Rule 4's period for filing from 45 days to 120 days. The next comment is from ISPCP. I could read through that, Bernie, if you are tired of reading.
No, that's fine. They're short now. Removing 1 year repose, ISPCP. The ISPCP therefore strongly supports the decision to remove from draft rules the supplementary deadline of 1 year from the date of ICANN's action or decision. The deadline of 120 days that the IOT now proposes is entirely sufficient to ensure prompt action and meet the purposes of the IRP set out in the bylaws. We urge the IOT not to revert to this change. Back to you, David.
Thank you. And there's a comment from VeriScience, a final comment on the one-year part. Yes? Did I hear a voice? Oh, I'm sorry. Malcolm's hand is up. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, David. David, you've just allowed asked Bernie to read ICANN's full reasoned input into this, even though it was five pages. You now read merely the conclusion from the ISPCP, but not its reasoning. I would therefore ask, and for once, and this is very rare, but for once, I'm going to ask formally on behalf of the ISPCP that in the interest of fairness, we should similarly read the reasoning that the ISPCP provided for its position into the record. Unlike the ICANN.org so-called input, this is actually less than a full page, so it won't take us very long. May I go ahead?
Yes, let me just say that, yes, you can go ahead. The reason for that was a miscommunication between myself and Bernie that was my fault. And so I didn't, you know, it caught me a little bit by surprise, but Bernie did exactly as we discussed. I just missed the part of the block summary of the ICANN something that indicated that it would be a full reading. So you raise a fair point. Go ahead, and you can read the ISBCP now, or you can wait until I finish with VeriSign, whichever you choose.
I'm going to go ahead now. And
go ahead.
You have the last word from VeriSign there. Okay, I'm happy to omit the previous portion on the other issue and read only that portion that relates to the repose issue under discussion. And that reads as follows. The ISPCP especially recalls the criticisms raised in the previous public comment round that the then draft rules could have prevented certain actions from ever being challenged through the IRP in some circumstances, because the deadline for filing a dispute would have elapsed before filing a dispute was permitted under the rules. The ISPCP would regard that as completely unacceptable. As set out in the bylaws, the IRP should be available to resolve disputes between materially affected parties and ICAM. Claimants should be required to act promptly to make use of the IRP, but the ability to set a deadline for filing must not be used to exclude certain claimants or types of dispute entirely. Under the draft rules, claimants may only challenge ICAN in the IRP if they've been materially affected ICAN's action. This rule must be aligned with the rule on deadline for filing. It is therefore entirely correct that the permitted time to file an IRP claim must run from the date when the claimant was so affected. The time for filing cannot be calculated from a date, such as when ICAN took the decision complained about, as this disregards the time that may elapse between the decision and implementation, which could amount to a considerable period, even years. To do so would, in some circumstances, entirely deprive claimants of the opportunity to challenge the legitimacy of ICAN's actions, regardless of how promptly the claimant acts. That cannot be acceptable, and is entirely outside the proper purpose of a timing rule. We are grateful to those who spotted this flaw in the original proposal in the previous public comment round, and to the IOT for acting to correct it. The ISP therefore strongly supports the decision to remove from the draft rules the quote-unquote supplementary deadline of 1 year from the date of ICAN's action or decision. The deadline of 120 days that the IOT now proposes is entirely sufficient to ensure prompt action and meet the purposes of the IRP as set out in the bylaws. We urge the IOT not to revert this change. That concludes the comment. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Malcolm. There's one comment left from VeriSign. I will read it. It goes as follows. The elimination of a period of Leon said that my voice is sounding like a robot. Is there a problem? Am I being heard okay now if I speak slower?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. Here's the comment. The elimination of a period of repose that requires that all claims be brought within a period of time from the date of the challenged action or inaction, however, is not consistent with the bylaws. VeriSign proposes that a repose period of 24 to 36 months be added back into Rule 4. The longer time period would address the concerns raised in the comments, while at the same time ensuring fundamental fairness and due process to other members of the Internet community impacted by the challenged action or inaction. Now, let me make a couple comments as the late chair of the group. We should have a discussion. We are sort of short on time. If you could mute your lines, but in discussing the comments, I would bring to our attention an email that Malcolm sent to the list on August the 14th. You can search the archives to see his mail, or you can I put it in a link about a week or so ago, saying what the agenda would probably look like, and Malcolm, in an email that's longer than I'm going to now state, basically said we in his opinion, we had three options. The first option would be to acknowledge that a clear majority expressed a certain point of view. The second option is to spend yet more time attempting to compromise, to find a compromise, reach a compromise. And the third option would be to report that we're unable to reach full consensus and instead include in report a faithful representation. That's an important point, a faithful representation of the opposing viewpoints and arguments, et cetera, and send that on. Those are three options. If anyone can think of any more, I would ask that you put them on the list. We should have this discussion in our meeting of December 13th. I'm hoping that everybody can attend the meeting on the 13th. Setting one later in December is probably not a good idea. And so that is what I would propose. We can start discussing now in a few minutes, but I do want to, before we do that, at least draw your attention to a couple of things that I put in the agenda. One we already spoke about, that is an attempt to get to finish the rules by the end of January. Malcolm may come to list with other thoughts and whether that should be impacted by adding new members. And so we'll wait to see what he suggests in that respect, and we can discuss that. And then secondly, I have proposed a letter that would be something that this group would send to the SOs and AACs to start the process for adding members. But that's not something I can do on my own. It's something I'm looking to the IOT, to us, to discuss and agree. And so you should see that letter in your email box, and we'll put that on the agenda for discussion on the next meeting. Excuse me. That letter also indicates the remaining work that we have. And so, you know, you can put your arms around that and we can discuss it. And also, I would be interested in the next meeting what people's thoughts are on having an organizational / substantive meeting at ICANN 64. So having said all that, I would open the floor to any discussion of the rules that Bernie and I just the comments, the summary of the comments with two exceptions that Bernie and I just read through, and see if anybody has comments on that or have comments on the three suggestions that Malcolm made, or otherwise. I don't want to close this discussion today. I want to come back to the list, say this is where we are. We should discuss this again on the 13th, but we'll see mail from Malcolm in the interim. So would anybody like to venture a comment on the time for filing rule? Malcolm, your hand's up. Go ahead. Malcolm, can I be heard? I'm wondering if I'm the one that's whose line is dead.
We can hear you quite well, David. But I cannot hear Malcolm.
I cannot hear Malcolm. So Malcolm, Malcolm's the only one in the queue, so we can wait a moment or so for Malcolm. I would also be interested in anybody's thoughts on the suggested letter to the SOs and ACs. I think we should move forward and add members, but again, it's something we should discuss and agree. And then secondly, I'd like to say that on list, I'll ask folks to take a look at the comments, but the purpose of this call was to create another record where we have indicated, in some form at least, what the substance of the comments is so that we can get to a decision point on this. Malcolm's hand is down. Malcolm, in a comment in chat, says he thinks only his first option is correct. So that's his comment on those options. I certainly would agree that option number two is not attractive, spending more time on attempting to reach a compromise. Option three strikes me as being viable. But to be honest, we only have 5 minutes left. Malcolm is a participant in this discussion. His line is dead, so I'm going to suggest we end the call 5 minutes early. Bernie and I will tee up the agenda for the next call, but I do urge those on this call to please try and be available for a follow-up call on December 13th. I'm getting...
Sorry, that was Malcolm connecting. My apologies for that. I had technical problems.
Okay, we're just in the process of closing down the call, but you're certainly welcome to make a comment. We're closing down the call with a view towards having this discussion in the next meeting. December 13th is my hope for that meeting.
Super. I just wanted to say that in listing those options, I was simply attempting to be logically complete. I don't consider them in any way all equally valid. Given the nature of the feedback that's been received, my own view is that only the first option is valid, and the option of giving up and leaving it to the board, I consider to be both completely wrong and actually a dereliction of the charge that this group has been given under the bylaws. So I would rule out that third option completely.
Okay. I think we should continue that discussion on the 13th. I thought I saw Aubrey typing. But we're in the process of closing down the call, so I appreciate that, Malcolm. Aubrey, if you had a comment, you're welcome to make it on the phone. Otherwise, I suggest that we end this call now and pick it back up on the 13th. And Aubrey says that by the end we were back down to the stalwart participant group. I think that's a fair comment. Again, I'll reiterate my hope that we can all reassemble on the 13th. It'll just be a 60-minute call. We can have other calls in January. We can certainly talk on list. But I appreciate the fact that we've had some good discussions recently and look forward to moving forward. So having said that, then I'm going to end the call. And thank you all for being here. I'm very appreciative. And we will look forward to seeing mail from myself on the agenda, Bernie on scheduling the call, and Malcolm on what he mentioned earlier in the call. Thank you. We can end the recording.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.